Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and today we're going to have our special feature from which we read from the Rockcliffe Review. Now, usually the article in the Rockcliffe Review, now that is the bulletin we pass out to those who attend the worship services at the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe, and usually the article in that bulletin has something to do with the sermon I'm going to preach that morning. But when I am absent, I try to supply a different kind of article. And in this one, I wrote an article about something that has to do with the spiritual heritage that we have here in Warren County, Tennessee. And a lot of time, my interest goes to the old Philadelphia meeting house that is in the little area that is now called Vervilla. It was once called Philadelphia until they wanted a post office, and then they changed the name to Vervilla, the Green Valley, Vervilla, or the Verdant Valley, the Vervilla. But now, that old meeting house was built in 1830, yet the people that came to the county came as early as 1805. And I know sometimes it's been more in the past than in the present, but in the past that members of the Churches of Christ have been ridiculed as being Campbellites. But I think it's interesting to note that 1805, those people were coming here to restore the New Testament church according to the teachings of scriptures 2 years before Alexander Campbell came to, before Thomas Campbell came to America, 4 years before his son even came. And so it's a special place. And there's a monument in front of that old meeting house with the names of preachers who have preached there. Now, it's not a complete list, but it is an interesting list. And among those names is William Davis Carnes. W.M.D. Carnes is chiseled or is engraved in that monument there. And so I wrote an article about old Philadelphia, the University of Tennessee, and the legacy of William Davis Carnes. Let me read that to you. On a monument in front of the old Philadelphia meeting house is inscribed the name W.M.D. Carnes, C-A-R-N-E-S. William Davis Carnes was born in South Carolina on November the 23rd, 1805, the very year that those who later built the 1830 Old Philadelphia Meeting House came to Warren County, Tennessee. Carnes came to Warren County in 1809 with his father, who opened a store in McMinnville. His father died the next year, and he went with his mother to Woodbury. Young Carnes had a thirst for knowledge. At the age of 18, he taught a night school in Woodbury. While teaching at Woodbury, he heard the gospel preached in its simplicity by Albert Abner Hill. Upon hearing the gospel, he was baptized into Christ. Carnes went on preaching tour through Kentucky, Indiana, and Illinois. When he came to the Sequatchie Valley, he met, converted, and married Elizabeth Billingsley. His thirst for knowledge carried him into East Tennessee University in Knoxville. After graduation, he returned to Pikeville until he was asked to be president of Barrett College in Spencer. Barrett College thrived under his leadership for 8 years. From there, he was elected to become the president of East Tennessee University. This university is now called the University of Tennessee. After a year in Knoxville, Carnes became the president of Franklin College that was started by Talbert Fanning near Nashville. Franklin College opened for a fall session in September of 1860 with the young men from every southern state except Florida. Abraham Lincoln was elected president of the United States in 1860, and the war that followed made it impossible to continue the work at Franklin College. Carnes returned to Pikeville for the duration of the war. Following the war, William Carnes became president of Manchester College in Manchester, Tennessee. He served in that capacity for 7 years. During this time, he established the church in Manchester from his home. In 1872, he returned to Barrett College, where he served as president until 1878. He was elected to be the president of Walters and Whaling College in McMinnville, but he soon resigned on account of ill health. He retired to his home in Spencer, where he died on November the 20th, 1879. He is buried in the cemetery that is almost in the shadow of Old Barrett College. The legacy of William Davis Carnes lives on through his descendants. A daughter of William and Elizabeth Carnes, Amanda Carnes, married George Washington Rogers. Their daughter, Ida Rogers, married James Wallace Cope. Their sons, James and Quill, both became college presidents. After serving as the Commissioner of Education for the state Tennessee Department of Education, Quill Cope was appointed to be the president of Middle Tennessee State University. In 1958, James R. Cope became a teacher at David Lipscomb College. While serving as a teacher, he was preaching for the Church of Christ in Donelson. While serving as the preacher in Donelson, he baptized my father, James W. Boyd, who attended there as a boy. There was talk of James R. Cope being groomed to serve as president of Freed Hardeman College following the presidency of N.B. Hardeman, but events resulted otherwise. James Cope became the president of Florida College in Temple Terrace, Florida, near Tampa. Soon after becoming president of Florida College, there arose contention among the preachers over issues as methods of congregational cooperation for evangelism, churches' support of orphans' homes and kitchens in church buildings to facilitate eating together. The contention grew strong. Florida College became associated with those objecting to the above. James Cope remained with the college as it did so. But the story is not over. James had a daughter named Kathy. Kathy Cope married John Weaver. Kathy and John had a son they named John Brian Weaver. In June of 2022, John Brian Weaver became the president of Florida College, where his grandfather had served as president before him. Florida College President John Brian Weaver is a great, great, great grandson of the William Davis Carnes on the monument at Old Philadelphia. Well, I know I'm just reading this. That's not a Bible study, but it is an interest in the spiritual heritage we have here in Warren County, and that should be of interest to us all. And I hope that this Warren County Radio Bible School will be included as among that spiritual heritage. And in doing this Bible school, we're reaching back to the old times and looking at Sunday school notes that were written by E.A. Elam that were popularly called in those days Elam's Notes. And today, we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of May 24, 1925, on Saul as he began his great career as a gospel preacher. And we're going to continue with that lesson in just a moment. Before we do, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola, at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's go to our Bible lesson. And let me read again on this program Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, where it says, "And straightway in the synagogue he," now this is Saul, who would later be known as Paul, "he proclaimed Jesus, that he is the Son of God. And this Sunday school lesson calls this the right theme. Emphasis must be placed on that which Paul and the apostles and evangelists of the New Testament preached. Paul charged Timothy to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, of the seed of David, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer hardship unto bonds as a malefactor. But the word of God is not bound. 2 Timothy 2:8-9. With all his learning and knowledge of the wisdom of this world, Paul determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. See 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. Here Paul wrote, "And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech, nor of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." In Thessalonica, he affirmed and proved that it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom, he said, I proclaim unto you, is the Christ. Acts 17:1-3. In Corinth, Paul testified that Jesus was the Christ, and Apollos powerfully confuted the Jews in that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that this Jesus was the Christ. Acts 18:5-28. The main point of Peter's sermon on Pentecost was to convince the Jews that God had made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Acts 2:36. Convinced of this, they asked what to do to be saved. Every day in the temple and at home, the apostles ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ. Acts 5:42. Jesus says it was necessary for him to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day before repentance and remission of sins could be preached in his name among all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Luke 24:44-47. Two things are true concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Mary. Not of some other man whose name is Jesus. He is, one, the Son of the living God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and two, the Christ. He is the central figure of the Bible. All the promises and promises of the Old Testament find their fulfillment in him, because he is the fulfillment of the law and of the prophets. All truths of the New Testament come from him. He is the embodiment of truth, the living way, and the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Without him, the whole Bible is false, and the world is without a remedy for sin or a Savior. Thousands of preachers and tens and thousands of other people today seem not to know this central truth of the Bible, the power of God to save, and the only thing to be preached and practiced. The preachers in churches as a whole today, instead of preaching as did the apostles and setting before the world Jesus as he is, the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, leave him in the background and preach and teach almost anything else. Some seem to have but little regard for the Word of God. This is sad, because they heed not God's charge to preach the word, and to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and disregard all he says about avoiding untaught questions and other things. To the Jews as a people did not believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. Convinced of that, they were ready to become Christians, depreciating Jesus today as prophet or teacher, priest, and king is infidelity. All teaching and theories which depreciate his authority today as king are wrong.